We're here to make a dent in the universe, or else why are we even doing this?
If I don't think I cut out all the fun stuff, because that to me is the fun stuff.
Build that audience, because if you've got no one to sell it to, then it's just going to flop and die, and no one likes a floppy, right?
I'm yet to meet a woman who just kind of grew up confidently in her body.
Welcome to my podcast. I'm Nicole Brumner. Join my weekly conversations with really interesting people as I delve into the stories and experiences that make them uniquely them. Welcome back to my podcast today. It is drizzly and dreary and grey where I am in the southeast of England, but we're going to press on and feed off the lovely energy of our guest today, who is Jennifer Nagel. And that's my dog groaning in the background, not my stomach. So Jennifer is a certified personal trainer and the CEO of Figured Out Fitness, an online coaching company for women over 30 who want simple nutrition and fitness solutions that they can be strong, feel energetic, and live healthy lives. Through her signature one-on-one coaching program, The Body Blueprint, and free online community, Modern Woman Getting Fit, she's here to shake up what you think you know about health and fitness while making it feel like it's the easiest thing since sliced bread. Her practical advice has been featured in MyFitnessPal, Pop Sugar Fitness, and Medium, and top podcasts like The Best of Both Worlds and A Purpose-Driven Mum. And when she's not coaching, you can find her watching sappy Netflix original movies, yeah, me too, reading a good book and planning her next travel adventure with her hubby. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hi, welcome. Thank you so much, Nicole. It's happy. It's good to be here.
It's really good to have you. And it's very early in the morning where you are. So where are you?
I am in the United States, north in Michigan, just right next to Canada. So when you're talking about that cold, drizzly weather, I completely understand.
We're dealing with you get that. That too. Well, it must, I think whenever I go back to Australia and it's so warm and sunny, it's really easy to exercise when it's warm and sunny. But when it is cold and snowy, like it must be in Michigan, it must be even harder to get out and make yourself exercise.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's less about the temperature and it's more about the sun. So it starts to get so dark. And then, you know, when you're dark, all you want to do is snuggle under the covers, turn on the fireplace. That's why I got the sappy Netflix movie habit.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. There's nothing nicer of a cold evening, is there, just to cuddle up with the person that you love and watch a good movie. So Jennifer, why don't we dive straight in and talk about what it is you do now, because I've given a bit of a bio, but of course that's just scratched the surface. So yeah, Jennifer, tell us what you do.
Yeah, I am an online personal trainer, really to simplify it. I love helping women, especially women who are busy and who have all sorts of things going on. I help them find solutions. That's really the crux of it. We're all looking to feel better, have more energy. Sometimes that even means changing our bodies a little bit. But honestly, we know the general things that we need to do, but most folks have a hard time actually making it work in their lives, because our lives are not these perfect 30-minute sitcom type lives where you can come in and drop your, you know, stuff on the table and then dinner is made. Most of us are just struggling to make it to the next minute, and all these new things are getting thrown at us. And 2020, this year, has been no exception. I mean, there have been so many changes happening. So what me and my team do is really help people define actionable, simple goals and create a simple path to get to that state of fitness. And what it is we're not really necessarily always talking about aesthetics. We're talking about their overall health, their ability to show up in their lives in a way that makes them feel good, having energy to play with their kids, or when we're able to travel a little bit more, go on vacation. So it's really about finding those simple solutions for people who really could use some simplicity in their lives.
How have you found it now, having had an online business for quite some time? Actually, how many years have you been operating just online?
Just online exclusively for 3 years now. So
3 years.
It's not a terribly long time, but in the online world, you know, I'm ancient. So, I've been doing this for about 3 years exclusively online.
And so it must be really interesting for you now watching with the lockdowns and various social distancing, watching people now turn their business to online businesses when that's something that you've been doing, as you said, for years in internet terms.
It is. The funny thing is what I found is, first of all, I think there's so many great opportunities online. So I think it's a really great emerging area, especially for people who are in the health and fitness field. What I found to be the big difference, because everyone's like, oh, did you all of a sudden did your business boom because everyone's online? Sort of. What happened was it really lowered the people before everything started to lock down. When I said I coached women online, they had no idea what that meant. So Zoom was not something that was in everybody's everyday vocabulary or certain apps. They just, nobody was aware of those. So what this did was it really increased the awareness and shortened the learning curve for most people who are not used to operating online every day. Now we are all doing it. And so it's become a lot easier to explain to people exactly it is what I do and how they can interact with a coach from a distance. So we work with people literally all over the world now because most people are just looking for a solution. And if whether I'm in Michigan or in New Zealand or whatever, it doesn't matter because I can support people where they are.
And is it time zone relevant as well? Or is this something that you can feed back to them during your time zone in their time zone?
Yeah, it's not time relevant because, again, we're most of our clients, even if they were in the same time zone, are busy. And the first barrier we wanted to eliminate was making another appointment on their calendar. Now, there are times where we do touch base. There is an appointment, but that's every couple of weeks. A lot of the things that happen occur via apps, via our app, via online communication. So if you're used to using WhatsApp or text, you can easily use our messaging app. And so our coaches are available. Our coaches are even dispersed throughout. So they're in different time zones. And we're creating solutions and plans that we can communicate with our clients through the apps, get real-time feedback for them and still be responsive and help them out. Because we're trying to avoid being another thing that they have to do. We're trying to create, here's a plan, here are some habits, here's feedback loops that we can do in whatever time that is convenient for you. And then we offer that service to them that way.
And I'd love to go into more of that a bit later because you've got the body blueprint, which I do want to go into. But first of all, let's step back a bit. And this is not something that you were always doing, was it?
So No, not at all. My background is a little interesting. So after I graduated from my university, I have a degree in food science. I got an MBA and I, went to school, got a job. And I worked at a very large university. And ended up working various roles and, ascending throughout my career. And I ended up as a strategist and business, sustainability, and all of these things. I wore a suit. I went to work from 8 to 5. And but then something big happened in my personal life where I went through a divorce. So in my early 30s, here I am divorced. I have a 4-year-old daughter. I had to start completely over. So, big, nice house. Now I'm in a little apartment and, used to having everything conveniently in my home for me. And now it's like I'm trying to figure out how to make it work, trying to transition my daughter into something normal because, I didn't want her to suffer, as a parent. And then at the same time at work, I got another promotion, which sounds amazing, but I was dying. I was so stressed. I was a casual exerciser. I've always enjoyed movement. And I always had this great setup around me to not having any of those things. So I really fell apart. I lived off of Diet Dr. Pepper and peanut butter probably for about 6 months. I barely slept. I had insomnia. I was incredibly stressed out. And I prioritized every single other person in my life but me. So I was prioritizing my child. I was prioritizing my new job and my new boss. And it really started to catch up. So I remember one day not feeling very well. And I took myself to the doctor. And then here comes my doctor with a little pill bottle and told me I had high blood pressure and I had to start getting on medication immediately. I was 31, and that scared the mess out of me because I was previously an extremely healthy person, and in about 6-9 month span, I was exhausted, not sleeping, overweight, high blood pressure. And I said, if I continued like this, I would not be around for all these people that I'm breaking my neck for. So that was like that turning point in my head that something had to change. So
and how long ago was that? Sorry.
Oh, well, now you're making me tell me my age, but no, it was 11 years ago.
11 years ago.
11 years ago. And so I started to exercise. I figured it out. I started doing little things at home, nothing exciting, but slowly I started to change my lifestyle. And I started to surround myself with people who, you know, also had that lifestyle. I started really stepping back at work and drawing boundaries and leaving at a decent time and not coming in at 6 a.m. like I used to do. And then I really enjoyed it. I loved it. I loved the feeling that I got. I started helping other people. I got additional certifications for training and for coaching. So I would do group coaching. I would do personal training. And then fast forward, when I got remarried, I remarried a man who was also in that same industry. So it was just this wonderful thing where I was surrounded by health and fitness. It made me feel amazing. And then I started to really examine my life. And I asked myself, I would go to work to a job, which was a great job, wonderful people, but I wasn't connected. I wasn't feeling that great energy when I did these other things that I was doing on the side. And so, you know, when you have a really wonderful, high-paying job with great insurance, what do you want to do? You want to leave it, right? No, I'm saying to start over again. So it was funny because most people thought I was nuts. Thankfully, my husband was very supportive, and he was just like, I just believe in you because I know that you can do anything. And I believed in myself, too. So I'd been doing a lot of training on the side, and it was about 3 years ago that I decided then to flip it and make this the thing that I did, because I wanted to help people who were like me, who were struggling, who, you know, were way older than their years, who really needed solutions to figure out, how do I make this thing work? I mean, we're smart women. It's not like we don't know we need to drink water and eat vegetables and move intentionally, but how do we do it? And so I used a lot of my personal experience. I listened to a lot of my clients, and I started to create programs and solutions that help them figure things out. So that's where Figured Out Fitness comes from, my company name.
Yeah, it's a great name. And I think that there are probably a couple of things you said there. First of all, divorce.
Yeah.
I've gone through divorce as well. And I don't think anyone really knows what divorce is like and the impact that it has on you financially, as you said, but also on your identity and the way that you think of yourself. It changes because all of a sudden you've been Mrs. Someone and now you're not. Now you're almost half of something. And you're, as you say, having the children there instantly, whether it be guilt or whatever it might be, your instant reaction is, right, I have to put those children first, which means putting yourself back. Exactly. Usually last, as you were saying, behind the job, behind whoever else or whatever else is given the priority. So do you think that a lot of your work is about helping women learn to put themselves first without that guilt?
I think there's always an element of that. I mean, what we talk about is creating a foundation for success, creating a healthy foundation. That's really, really important. And a healthy foundation has zero to do with what you look like. It has to do with habits such as carving time for yourself and being okay with it and not saying, oh, I'm being selfish and it's okay to be selfish. It's not selfish. That's 101. You've got to be first because, I mean, in my head, the whole Ricky Bobby, if you're not first, you're last thing popped into my head. Sorry if it's a bad movie reference. But it's true, because if you're not prioritizing your health, your care, you cannot be there for anyone else. It's just impossible. So, you know, I'm from Michigan. We're a big car place. And I always think about the analogy of, if you're a car, you're the vehicle that's taking other people places. If you don't give it gas, if you don't wash it, if you don't take it, you know, to get its checkups or an oil change, it's going to break down. And therefore, everybody else in that car will be stranded too. So you really do have to prioritize yourself and create that foundation that, you know, putting yourself first, putting your health first, that means whatever that means. Those are the, for some people, it might mean 5 minutes of meditation in the morning. For some people, it's absolutely eating the right foods. It's being able to show up confidently to get enough sleep so that you're ready for the next day. So yes, a huge element of what we talk to our clients about are creating these core healthy habits that are things that you should and can do every single day that are just important for your overall health and well-being. And that's just forms the basis of anything that you want to do in life. Most people are not like, I love to exercise. It makes me feel good. That's my thing. Most people are not like me. Most people exercise to do something else. They exercise because they want to play with their kids or they want to show up someplace and feel really good. And so we try to help them understand that these are the habits that form the foundation for you to show up in the places that are really important to you.
And I really love that. And I wrote that down and underlined it. Create a foundation of health. And that really is what it's about, isn't it? It's just about having this underlying foundation that you can then, and this sturdy foundation that then everything within your life can build itself on. Because, yeah, my partner, Paul, who's listening at the moment, he has a great saying that's from airlines. When you fly and they're giving you the safety briefing, they say, put your own mask on, put your mask on first. And that's the one that he always says to me whenever I'm feeling stressed and I'm wanting to put everyone else and saying, I don't have time for this. He says, put your own mask on first. And that's exactly what you're saying about the car analogy. So I also wanted to pick up on the aesthetics side because we're roughly the same age, just doing the quick maths there. So I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, the role models were all the supermodels. Oh. So we had Kate Moss, Claudia Schiffer, Naomi Campbell, these sorts of people. And let's face it, they're really thin. And that's what I grew up thinking was normal. Do you think that now that we've got, say, the Jenners and all these other Instagram girls with the huge booties, do you think that they've been a positive role model for the female aesthetic?
Oh, this is such a loaded question. I actually wrote about some of this stuff and recently. And oh, I have to note, my husband is Paul too. So shout out to the Pauls.
Oh, is he? Yes.
I think there's been a huge shift because what I wrote about was, I remember growing up. So you're a child of the 90s. I'm 42. So I'm a child of the 90s. And everyone, if you remember, like all of a sudden all the actresses got really skinny. Like it was okay to be, I mean, and my thing is if you're a size zero, you're a size zero, but a lot of people who are naturally a healthy size 4 or 6 or 8 were killing themselves to get down to these small waif-like looks. Same thing with the supermodels. And now I feel like there's almost this backlash. And so we swing in the other direction. And so, yes, it's socially acceptable to be curvaceous these days. And there's a lot of really great things with body positivity and body confidence. But the interesting thing is what I also see is if you go out there and say something like, hey, I want to lose a couple of pounds, like Rebel Wilson has been very public with her weight loss and her fitness journey. And Rebel Wilson has always been and still continues to be an extremely positive, outgoing, loves herself kind of woman. She just decided to change some things for her own personal health. But sometimes people get villainized for that now, too. So it's a really interesting swing. I think it is wonderful to see a wide variety of bodies out there because I think that's what's normal, that you have people who are very thin. You have people who are larger. You have people who are athletic and more muscular. That's me. But, you know, what I would love to see in the future is for people to accept all bodies and accept the fact that sometimes people might want to lose weight or gain muscle or not have as much muscle. And the normalization should be that we're just accepting people and the desire to look or feel a certain way is really up to the individual and not up to us. So that's a big thing. And I, interestingly enough, I did bodybuilding for a few years. So talk about, you know, thinking about, body shape and size and all of that. And it's just such an interesting conversation that I think continues to evolve. And I think one day we'll get to the point where, hey, I feel good. I'm doing my daily walk. And my friend says, hey, I feel good. I lifted, you know, I deadlifted 200 pounds and all of it's good. But yeah, it's been an interesting swing from the 90s till now. And I anticipate we'll see another swing in another decade as well.
That's right. Because I remember the whole heroin chic where girls were as skinny as possible and unhealthy as possible. And obviously they lived on a diet of Marlboro Lights and champagne. But it's there is this more wholesome, health focused look now, which I think's a wonderful change. And while I despair a little bit about some of the surgical enhancements that people make, just for my own daughter, I think that this, the overall, we've got a swing. But you're right about people like Rebel Wilson, another Australian like me. She got trolled for losing weight. Same with Adele. Adele got trolled for losing weight and had to go into hiding. And you think what they're doing is they're making changes from a place of health.
Yes.
And that's what you've been talking about with your clients as well. It's from this, from a place of wanting to be the healthiest that you can be, regardless of what your body looks like.
And for them to define it on their own terms. And that's the thing. It really, and it kind of all goes back to your thoughts and the mentality around health. And I think you can start to define what that looks like when you're in a good place. So that's why I always, one of the things we talk about is carving out time for yourself, because you know, when you're in this big frenzied mode, you can't really examine, you know, what right looks like for you, you know, but you have to stop, slow down, take a little bit of time for yourself. And then from that place is when you can start making much healthier decisions on who you want to be, what's your identity, what's your health identity. And then you can start to create a health plan or a fitness plan or nutrition plan that aligns with that. And it has nothing to do with anyone else. And that's why, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Rebel Wilson because she's just very unapologetically herself. So regardless of whatever size she is, it's like you're still getting Rebel Wilson. So, and that's the thing that, you know, when I teach my daughter, we talk about health and we talk about energy and feeling good. And she's at an age where she's naturally gaining weight. She's, you know, now she's a teenager, so her body is changing. And I am really trying to make sure I say things like, I think you look great. How do you feel? Or, you know, she's an athlete. So it's like, you know, I love that you're able to add muscle because this helps you in your position for this. And, you know, how would you like to move and how would you like to feel? And it's just such a different message than how do you want to look or what size do you want to be? Which I think, even if our families didn't say that, you're right, magazines and social, well, no, we didn't have social media at the time. But we had,
thank goodness,
and magazines, they would tell us, it's like, oh, this person who, you know, has got the dark circles and smoking the cigarette, it's like, oh, that's healthy. It's like, oh.
That's right. And now with this 110, 115 pounds, and like you, I'm quite muscular as well. And I don't think one of my legs would weigh 110 pounds, let alone my whole body. So yeah, it's just, it's so unrealistic. And yeah, talking to your children, especially daughters, is a very interesting process. My daughter's 9 now and very aware of what she looks like. And she started doing workouts in her room as well with various influencers on YouTube. But it is really hard to say, to not compliment the way she looks, but the way she is. So I want you to be strong and not say you're beautiful, but you're a strong, kind, courageous girl. Mm. And not focus on that aesthetics. And is that sort of the approach that you're taking with your girls especially?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not that I won't say that they're beautiful, but I want to say they're all of those things. So yeah. I think it's a fine line, and I am very, very thoughtful of my words around them, because I know for me, when I was about 12 or 13, that's when I started getting those messages about body image. And I have 3 daughters now, so I'm in a blended family. So we have 4 kids together, 3 girls, 1 boy. Poor son is surrounded by women. And they're all different shapes and sizes. And we definitely talk about, like I said, energy and feeling good and good nutrition. And so we talk about the things that like what I consider pillars of health. I want them to move, but what it looks like for one of my daughters who loves to play volleyball and softball, and she's an athlete and she likes to work out, she likes to lift weights, like that's her thing. And the other one is just like, no, she just likes to be out and active and move around. The other one loves animals, so she's always playing with dogs and cats and turtles and God knows what else she finds. And so all of those things are correct. And it's the same thing with adults too. I mean, fitness doesn't have to look the same from person to person. For one of our clients, she goes on a daily walk and that has been the biggest fitness change she's made. It's something she sticks with. She enjoys it. She invites her girlfriends. They use that as social time. And that's her thing. We have another client who has fallen in love with weightlifting. And now she's like gym selfies, pictures, and loving it. Here's my personal best. And that's perfect. Both of them are doing exactly what they need to do for their own health and fitness. So when you're thinking about solutions, it really has to be something that's aligned with you and what you love and who you are and what you can stick with. And, you know, hopefully that you can enjoy.
Let's look at the nutrition a bit more, because clearly you've got your undergrad degree was in food science, so you've got this really solid background in that. I too, I've got a degree in nutrition, so as a little certificate that I did a postgrad. And I also really envy you, because it's a little known fact that I also was a bodybuilder, and I trained for bodybuilding competitions back in 2003 and 2004. But I could not do the dieting. I absolutely could not. So the fact that you've been up there on stage all shredded in the figure class, I have so much respect for you. So how much of the nutrition knowledge that you have, and how much of people's journey do you think is based on nutrition rather than on the exercise?
Oh, like 90%.
Yeah.
90%. Yeah. I always joke with people that exercise is a gateway drug, because that's a thing that people always think they need to do. And then nutrition, once we get them, we know, we're like, oh yes, come in with the exercise. And we talk about nutrition, which is the thing that they actually need to do. So just aside, I did do bodybuilding for a couple of years. And the first time I did it all wrong. So very restrictive diet. And, you know, it was one of those things where you look back and you just want to smack yourself. But I will say what I've learned about nutrition from the last coach that I worked with was amazing. Works with world-class athletes and really trained us like athletes. So I ate lots of food. In fact, I ate a lot, and I ate a wide variety of food. And I use principles of what's called flexible dieting. And that's something that I carry over with our clients. So it's not so much about you can't eat this or you should only eat this. It's here's what's a good balance of protein and fat and carbohydrates that you should eat, and eat whatever you like, as long as you know you're making sure you're hitting those balances. And for a lot of people, it's very liberating, because with food, we've started to villainize food. So you're not healthy if you eat an Oreo, or you're only healthy if you are on a vegan diet, or you're this or you're that. And that's a lot of pressure. And we don't need any more pressure in our lives, especially around what we eat. There are times where I will eat salmon and salad and vegetables all day. And last night I had pizza and it felt good. And I was fine with that. And so we like to teach a no restriction. We have a no restrictions policy, because as soon as you start to say, here are the things I can't have, I mean, that's a negative reinforcement that causes stress. And we are not trying to create those types of things in your life. Again, we're talking about solutions. We're trying to take things off your plate. And so it can be very liberating. In fact, one of my clients, we talked last week, and she was someone for most of her adult life said, I can't have carbs. She would exercise for an hour a day, super high intensity stuff. And then she would only eat 1500 calories at most a day, and never saw any changes, and was very frustrated. And when she came to me, she said, I just need to learn how to let go of all of the stress and restriction around food. Yes, she wanted to look a little different, but she's like, that was the number one thing. So now we've got her eating over 2000 calories. She eats brownies if she wants a brownie. If she wants to enjoy her friends up in the cabin, they do that. And if she, you know, she exercises about a half an hour and she's happy and her body is changing. And that's the thing, the science behind that really works. But what we have been taught over the years is that if I want to feel good or if I want to be healthy, I have to eat a little bit of food. It has to be this type of food. It can't be that kind of food. And then I have to really work hard in the gym. And that's the only way that I'm going to be healthy. And that's just not true at all.
It's really interesting about the calories per day, because what I've found is, as a woman in my 40s now, whenever I go onto one of those apps like Lose It and start tracking how many calories I'm consuming and how much my base metabolic rate is and things like that, the calories I'm allowed a day as a 42-year-old woman are about 1,300 a day. It's tiny. And then I have to exercise for about 20 hours in order to be able to eat anything and have a glass of wine. So it's really interesting that your approach is different. And just talk us through that, because obviously calories in, calories out, but there's more to it than that, isn't there?
A lot more to it. And it takes a little bit of understanding about how your metabolism and your body works. So I use a calorie tracker, but not for them to tell me what I should eat. So I always tell people, think of it as an electronic journal and nothing more. Because it can't tell you about your health history or your muscle mass or whatever. It's only using calculations and limits of blah, blah, blah. And I always call it the 1200 calorie myth. If you plug your information into there, and I have tested this so many times, you will likely never get any more than like 12 or 1300 calories. And the fact that you said 1300 calories, I'm like, yep, you see? And I actually just did a quick screen record. I was gonna do a little lesson on that today in one of my groups. Your body is like a thermostat. It is going to adjust to whatever the temperature is. So if you are giving your body lots of good and healthy food, it's going to respond by, you know, burning those, making it efficient. But if you back off, so if you start eating 1500, 1400, 1300 calories, your body's like, well, I'm not getting any food, so I better become a whole lot more efficient. And so it starts to optimize on 1300 calories. The problem is, so let's say at 1300 calories, you have decided for your health, for whatever reasons, you'd like to lose a couple of pounds. So now your body is working efficiently at 1300 calories. In order to create a deficit, you have to go, you think you have to go below that. So then you're eating even less. Well, your body's like, oh, I got less food. So it's going to economize at now 1200 calories. So What we typically do with many of our clients is we start with a reverse diet, which means that you're doing just the opposite. We're giving you a little bit more food, then a little bit more food, then a little bit more food. And if we do it right, your weight barely changes. And for many clients, they start to see their inflammation go down, their stress in their body is down because they're not dieting so hard. They get a little tighter, some lose weight, but the goal is to get their calories up without increasing their weight so they can start feeling relaxed. They can eat a much wider variety of foods without gaining excess pounds. And then from that place, from a much healthier place, if they then choose to want to lose some weight, then we can do other methods to maybe cut some calories. But now they're cutting from like 2300 calories and maybe to 2200 versus 1300 to 1200. And
that's starvation.
Ooh, my leg can't eat 1200 calories.
Yeah. Now that really makes sense. And just to go back to the bodybuilding days, I know that the times when I've been the tightest and is when I'm eating six meals a day, or when I'm eating really super clean without any, I guess, processed foods, just really, really clean food, but lots of it. And so it's counterintuitive though, isn't it? And yeah, that must be really hard trying to break all these preconceived ideas.
Yeah, the most difficult part of a reverse diet is the mental part, because it goes against everything you've ever learned. And most doctors even, at least doctors in the United States, are very much like, oh, you need to lose weight. A lot of my clients have come to me after their doctors have said, hey, you know, you've got high blood pressure, you are pre-diabetic, you have these health issues, you need to lose weight. And then they'll say, okay, well, how do I lose weight? well, just work out more, eat 1500 calories. And that's what they're being told. So after a few months of doing that, they go back to their doctor. Their weight hasn't changed. Maybe they've gained weight, and their doctors, then they, I don't want to say their doctors shame them, but many of these women feel shamed. Like, I'm already trying to manage my kids, my job, myself, trying to lose this weight. I'm doing everything you told me to do and nothing has happened. So it's really important to understand the science behind it. My last coach, who I had such great rapport with, the first thing he did was put me on a reverse diet. And so I was eating tons of food. It was amazing. I loved it. There was nothing that I couldn't have. And, you know, the interesting thing about that is when you are not restricted, you tend to choose better foods because you know if you want to have a glass of wine or if you want to have a piece of cake, you can. So then it's less about, I have to eat this thing because I'm craving it. And it's more about, I don't really feel like that today because I feel satisfied, I'm happy. And so a lot of people who always said, well, I have sugar cravings or I have all these other things, when you give them more food, they tend to make better choices because they're not restricted anymore.
Absolutely. If you get that 2 o'clock sugar craving, which I do, I'm just logically, if you've eaten a huge lunch of salad and some good quality bread or carbs or whatever it might be, and a protein as well, you won't have room. You don't have space. If you go out for a big lunch with friends and you don't have the sugar cravings that you do if you're just at home, maybe working from home and a bit bored, a bit frustrated. And again, it's more of a habitual thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's been the biggest thing since April that we've talked about with most of our clients. Many of them are now making the switch to working from home. It's new to them. And I had the same kind of adjustment when I started working from home in an online space. And understanding the difference between being actually hungry and being bored and just creating other habits that you can do. We are big fans of habit coaching. I don't know if people are listening. James Clear, Atomic Habits. There's also a book called The Power of Habit. Some really, really great things on habit coaching because we have natural triggers and habits that we do in our normal lives. And so sometimes the things that we're talking about do require little habit changes. So we help people learn how to stack habits on top of things that they might already be doing. And I use the example, I'm someone who's really terrible. I take vitamins, especially vitamin D, totally need that where I am in Michigan where there's no sun. So I take vitamins in the morning. And I used to always forget to take my vitamins. And what the basic principles of habit stacking are, make it easy and do it next to something that you are already doing. So I started putting my vitamins next to my keys in the morning because I know when I leave the house and I usually go to the gym or I'll go somewhere at some point, less so lately, but it's right next to my keys. So as soon as I see my keys, I'm like, oh, I got to take my vitamins. So now it's not like, oh, I have to go find my vitamins in my cupboards. I just need to take them. So we talk about habit stacking with sleep routines. We talk about habit stacking with eating. We talk about habit stacking even with exercise or little reminders or triggers. So I sometimes wear a Fitbit, not because I really care about how many calories it says I'm burning, but because every hour it reminds me to get up and move. And so that's a little trigger that helps me move around when I am generally in a sedentary type. It's funny, as a trainer, I'm sedentary, but because I'm online, I'm often on my computer or phone. So my Fitbit tells me to get up and move. And I'm like, oh, okay, thank you for the reminder. Or it will tell me, hey, you said you wanted to get in 10,000 steps today, move. So with habits, we're looking for triggers. We're looking for things to stack habits with. We want to build habits. And I always tell people, and this is from, again, I can't take credit for it, James Clear, the 2-minute habit. Any big goal that you have can be broken down to a 2-minute habit. And so instead of saying, I'm going to lose 20 pounds, you can say, I want to lose 20 pounds. And you back that up. What do I need to do? Well, I need to eat well and exercise. Okay, well, what do you, and you take one of those. Well, eating well, what does that mean? Well, I'd like to have a good high quality protein with each meal. Okay, break that down. For breakfast, I would like to make sure I eat eggs. Okay, eat eggs, 2-minute habit. So then once you master that, which takes time, once you feel like it's kind of that thing that you do in the morning, you move on to the next habit, and then you move on to the next habit. So in 2 minute, easy, small, chunkable, stackable things, now you're starting to build onto routines that become second nature and are not these incredibly daunting kinds of tasks, which is typically how we think of exercise and nutrition. We think about, oh my gosh, I got to do this thing. But what if it's your habit, your 2 minute habit is that beep, beep on the watch that says, get up and walk around. I mean, it could be that easy.
Yeah, it seems to me that it's about removing obstacles. And even if they're mental obstacles where our brain's going, no, I can't get up. I've just got to finish this email. Well, actually, my watch has just beeped, so I have to get up. And the same with, we're so good at coming up with excuses for things, aren't we? And I do think, especially as mothers, there are always reasons why we can't do certain things. Mm-hmm. So it's about removing those, it seems. Can you take me through your body blueprint?
Yeah.
And what that is? And just share some of the, obviously don't give too much away, but share with us what you can.
I share lots of stuff. People are kind of like, oh, what do people actually do? The body blueprint is our one-on-one coaching program. And I am a huge proponent of education because I want people to understand. I don't want to just be someone who tells someone what to do. I want them to understand why, and I want them to learn. Even so, after they've worked with us, and we have some amazing examples of people who have long since done their coaching, they still text us and say, oh, guess what? I did this today. Because my goal was for this to be the last investment you'll ever have to make in a coach or a program, because we really wanted to create lifelong solutions. So with the body blueprint, there's an element of education in very easy, digestible video chunks, sometimes even audio chunks, because again, we work with busy people. So if you can just plug your headphones in or watch a quick 5 minute video, that's what we want to do. Then there's also the coaching component where you're paired with an amazing coach. All of our coaches are very well versed in exercise, nutrition, habits, the mental aspect of health and nutrition. And so you'll connect with them every other week. Then there's the actual plan itself. So whatever your goals are, your coach will customize a plan that includes habits, that might include certain behaviors that you want to focus on, and or fitness and exercise, or exercise, fitness, and or nutrition. And then that's delivered through the app. So for example, for our clients who have exercise plans, they just pull it up, hit a button, it tells you what to do, and you do it. And your coach will help you decide, okay, are you exercising for 20 minutes four times a week? Are you going for a walk and doing the strength routine? Are you doing whatever? But it's all in the app. And the great thing is, for those of us who get really satisfied with that list checking thing, you just hit a button. You're like, yep, I did that today. Yep, I did that today. That's also psychologically, we like that element of accomplishment because it gives us a quick win. So yeah, our body blueprint is a combination of education, one-on-one coaching, and then just that tactical plan that can be delivered to you anywhere, anytime. So we have a lot of success with this program. Our clients do quite well. The last time we calculated, and we do track all of our numbers, we have about an 87% success rate. And so most people do a really great job. And of course, we're always trying to inch that up. But like I said, I got a text the other day from one of my clients who's like, Jennifer, guess what? This thing that I was struggling with when we worked together, I'm able to do this now. And this is so exciting. And I think, thank you so much for everything that I learned. We have another client who still, despite the fact being like 2 months past her program, texts her coach her daily steps because she just feels good and she's excited about that. So we're really hoping with this program to create solutions for life so people can feel confident, so that they can understand how to use habits, so that they can integrate these habits. They can do it with a support person and accountability, but then move on and do it on their own.
And when you measure this 87% success, what does that mean?
So we have a check. Well, there's always some element of check-in. So each client has their own goal, and we're assessing whether they are making progress towards their goal or not. Plus, we survey them. So we survey our clients. So it's not only how we feel they're progressing towards their goal, but how they feel that they've progressed towards their goal too.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Doesn't matter what I think, as long as they're happy. That's what we're looking for.
No, absolutely. And it's not about just have they lost X number of pounds. This is about achieving the goal that they've set along with their trainer or their coach.
Their goals are all over the place. It's very diverse. And that's what gets me excited, because when I see people really understand the connection between health and energy and happiness and longevity, it just makes me feel good that I'm doing something that makes the world a little bit better. You know, it helps people show up better, and that can only be good.
Yeah, there are so many people contacting me, and this is a bit off topic, but so many people contacting me at the moment just saying, I'm dissatisfied with what I'm doing. I don't feel like I'm making a genuine difference in the world. And with all that's going on, I want to feel like I'm making a positive impact. And it's just so lovely to hear from you and hear that you were able to pivot that buzzword right now, pivot your life and find something that really does give purpose and meaning, not just for yourself, but to the people that you work with. So do you have any tips for people on, and this is going outside of your comfort zone as well, but tips on how people can look at areas where they might want to pivot? And it might not be health and fitness, it might be something else, but something that gives them more meaning or gives their lives more meaning.
Absolutely. I'm trying not to get emotional, because I think you hit something there. That's how I felt when I was in my old job, and there's something inside you that changes. You know that there's something else. You might have no clue what that is. And so some of the questions that I asked myself, because I think it took me, honestly, it probably took me 3 to 4 years from when I knew I wanted to do something else to finally being able to pull the trigger, understand what I wanted to do, and move into it. And so I said, the best thing I can do is really look inward and ask myself and get to know myself more, understand what makes me tick. And for me, making a difference for other people was at the top of my list. I wanted to live with purpose. I wanted to have a positive impact. The second thing I would say to folks is ask yourself, what are the things that you do in your life that make you happy, that you enjoy? It can be a hobby. It could be time spent with people. And what are the elements that energize you? For some people, it's being around a group of people. For some people, it's education. So I always say, remove the title and just ask what it is the essence of what you enjoy. So I had a really great pivot conversation with one of my friends. She's a teacher right now, dying in this new environment. And she's like, this is killing me. So what else can I be doing? I'm like, well, what is it that you loved about teaching? I love making a difference, Jennifer. I loved influencing lives. I loved educating people. And then we talked about, well, what are other things that you could do where you're still educating, you're still influencing, you're still working with young people? And then once you open up, like take the titles, take the roles off of it, it just opened up a whole slew of things. And I said, here's my other advice, don't be afraid to be weird, because trust me, 5 years ago, being an online trainer was not the bee's knees that it is now. Nobody knew what that was. And there wasn't all these apps, there weren't support, those things didn't exist. So I just knew I had a brief stint of having an in-person fitness business, and it killed me. I was exhausted. You have to physically be someplace. So I kept asking myself, how do I combine fitness with not being someplace 24/7. And that's how the idea started to come. And then, you know, when I started to open myself up to the idea, certain opportunities hit. I started learning about things. I started seeing some examples of pieces that I wanted to do, and it started to come together. But I had to know myself. I had to remove the labels off jobs. I had to be creative, and I had to be okay being really, really different and weird and trying something that maybe nobody else that I knew did. So that would be my advice. It's just to really trust that feeling. If you have that feeling now, it's already there. A good friend of mine yesterday said that. She's like, if you start, the gut feeling is already kind of ruminating, your mind has already said that this is not your life anymore. And you have to kind of honor that feeling and explore it. And so it's a self-discovery and a little bit of faith.
Yeah, that's really beautifully put, Jennifer. And I think that, yeah, it's really strange now to think about you being so far advanced 3 years ago, which doesn't seem like much time ago. But yeah, what you were doing then was really weird. But being a mother, and you don't want to teach clients in the evening and during their lunch breaks and straight after school. You want to be teaching while your children are at school. And so it really makes sense that you did what you did. One other question I want to ask you is, and this might be relevant to the people who are entrepreneurs and business people, and it goes back to this foundation of health, but how do you find that it impacts on people's careers when they do have this foundation of health? And also talk about the mental health side as well, because a lot of people have, I think health is more all-encompassing now. It's not just about your physical health. It's also about your outlook and your mental health also.
And it's all connected. It's all connected. You can't separate those things. So a foundation of health, I think, is critical for entrepreneurs. I mean, if you look at many articles in Forbes or Inc. or Entrepreneur Magazine, where they ask or they interview, you know, there's always this like richest people, best business leaders, whatever. And they ask them about their routines, and nearly 95%, and I'm don't quote me on the percentage, but most of them have some sort of health or wellness routine. And they talk about how important that is for them showing up in their role. Because when you're an entrepreneur, speaking from experience, and I'm sure you can relate, I mean, you wear a lot of hats and you are still you, like you still have your family or your partner, or you have other things outside of the business or the work that you do. So you're constantly on. And so I feel like in order to come to the table as my best self, I really have to be taking care of all of this, which is my mental state, which is, you know, my physical state. Because if I can't just show up as the best me, like, how am I going to have that next great idea? Or how am I going to, you know, work through my next project or milestone? How am I going to set an example for the people who work with me or for me? It's actually, research has been done about mental clarity and productivity, and people who are healthy are more mentally clear. They're more productive, which means they're making better decisions. They're able to look long-term. They're able to think strategically. And it's just like the car example, again, taking out my Michigan roots, that, you know, if you have a really well-tuned car, it's going to perform for you. And so it's the same with your body and your mind. And I'm so glad you brought up mental health, because actually that's been one of the biggest things impacted in 2020 with coronavirus. And I'm in the US with the elections and all of that. People's mental health has been suffering. And that's important to think about. And I'm in a family where there's mental illness in my family, or people have been depressed. And that's important to normalize that people go through those things. And having a good mental health routine, in my opinion, is just as important as having a good physical health routine. So for me, what that looks like is pausing in the morning. Sometimes it's a few minutes. It's breathing deeply at night. I have a practice of prayer. I have a practice of gratitude. And those are the things that keep me grounded mentally. It helps me focus. It helps me kind of go back to something in my core when everything can feel like everything's falling apart around you. So the mental health aspect of your total health is incredibly important. And you don't get one without the other. You're not going to be physically healthy if your mind is just not in a good place. And same thing, if you're physically not in a good state, it's really hard for you to have that clearness and to feel really good mentally. So these things they're married, they're symbiotic. You need to work on them together.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a final question, Jennifer. And thank you for just imparting so much knowledge today. But one final question is, if there was just one change that people could make now, or one tip that they can put into their routine, what would that be?
I would definitely say carve out time for your best 2 minute habit. And what I mean by that is, first, well, I guess it's more than one thing. Be intentional about taking that time and find one thing that you can do. It doesn't have to be the hardest thing. In fact, I advocate for it not to be the hardest thing. where you can do that's going to help you health-wise and give you a win. So I don't care how small or boring or whatever, unsexy it is, carve that time, because accomplishing that is going to, first of all, you'll set aside the time, you're making yourself a priority, and accomplishing that is going to make you feel really, really good. And it's going to help you move on to whatever that next step is for you. So take the time to plan, carve out, and execute your 2-minute habit.
That's really great advice, Jennifer. Thank you so much. And thank you again for coming on the podcast today and imparting all that knowledge. We will put in the show notes where everyone can find you and find out more about your community and your one-on-one program. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Nicole.
So, I'd love to do this program now. I certainly need to carve out more time for myself. That is for sure. So next week, we're joined by Amrita Mahindru of Drew Projects, who is my long-term architect. I've been working with her for nearly 10 years now. And we're going to be talking about not just great architecture and interiors, but also about diversity in the workplace and how not being diverse, even when you are from a minority group, can work against you if you don't have the proper processes and programs in place. So join us right here next week. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please support us with a like, comment, subscribe, and share. And you can always join the conversation live across my YouTube, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages at 1 p.m. every Thursday. See you there soon.